Keeping Up, steps 10, 11, and 12. Can you please help me welcome our first speaker, Sharon?
I'm Sharon, I'm an addict.
Hi, Sharon.
And this is the other comedy show, is what my sponsee told me, because I'm speaking. I want to thank the New Jersey Convention Committee for inviting me to speak. This has been a real special convention for me because I moved to Virginia 18 years ago, trying to do that geographical change, and I did all my using right here in Virginia, right here in New Jersey. So when I was asked to come back and speak at a convention in New Jersey, I thought, wow. You know, I just felt like God was just bringing me an opportunity to come back to the very place that I used to share that there's recovery going on in Virginia. Narcotics Anonymous is happening, and I'm living proof, you know. My thoughts are just racing right now because I don't know if any of you can relate to being asked to speak and then waiting and then being told you're not speaking until 10:30 at night. You know, so give me all weekend to just be in my thoughts about what is it that I'm going to say. My disease wants to tell me I don't have anything to say, that nobody's going to understand. But what I know is that the program of Narcotics Anonymous works. This is the only thing that has ever worked for me. I didn't think there was going to be anything that was going to work for me to stop me from using. What I also know is that I do have a message to carry because I've been a member of Narcotics Anonymous for 18 years. And I believe in this program, and I believe in the steps. You know, I believe in the literature. I believe in everything that Narcotics Anonymous has taught me. So I do have a message to carry because my life has changed since I've come to Narcotics Anonymous. And it is a direct result of working the steps. I love the topic, Keeping Up, because, and I also like the fact that they gave me steps to speak on because I love the steps, you know. The fellowship is great. The meetings are great. But it's actually working the steps that brought the changes in my life, which is why I constantly encourage someone, if you're coming into Narcotics Anonymous and you're new and you don't know what this process is about, get a sponsor and work some steps. The rest of the fellowship is icing on the cake. But get a sponsor, go to meetings, get some numbers and use them and work the steps. 10, 11, and 12. Promptly admitting when I was wrong, that was a real interesting step for me because I'm the kind of addict that could do something to you and justify why I did what I did. And to admit that I was wrong was not in my vocabulary. I could tell you why I did what I did. I can justify it. I can tell you what you did wrong. But for me to take a personal inventory and then come right back and apologize for something I've done to you was not something that I was used to doing until I started working the steps. Taking that first self-assessment in step 4 helped me to take a look at who I was, the character defects that I possessed, and the assets, because I never thought that I had any assets. I could tell you everything wrong about me, but I could never see the good in me until I worked step 4. So by the time I got to step 10, I was accustomed to having taken a look at who I was and working step 6 and 7, looking at the defects of character that I have and the shortcomings. Again, I could tell you that I didn't have any defects. When I got to that 6th step and writing that list was really hard for me at first because I couldn't see anything wrong with me. I was always pointing a finger at you and telling you what was wrong with you. So by the time I got to step 10, because I have done step 6 and 7 and I was able to take a look at my shortcomings and look at my defects, I could recognize when I got into step 10 about taking that daily inventory because what it did was it helped me stay balanced in my program. By taking a look at myself and saying, what's going on with me right now? Like right now, what I'm feeling is nervous. And my fear is that I'm not going to say something to help somebody or that I'm going to sound like a babbling idiot up here and nobody's going to understand anything. And I do care today what you guys think about me. You know, I don't run around trying to impress everybody, but I do care about what you think about me. So my disease wants me to believe that I'm not going to carry a message. So I'm constantly having to put myself in check and saying, wait a minute, you've been around how many years? You've worked these steps how many times? You're sharing my message with other recovering addicts that my sponsees, who I want to thank for coming here with me from Virginia. I love you guys. They all came to support me. My mother's here. I love you, Mom. My husband is here. I love you, Ray. You know, I just really feel the love and support. And I just have to acknowledge that. So thank you guys for being here. I'm sharing what I've been taught from my sponsor with the women that I'm sponsoring. So I don't care how long you come around, I still suffer with self-esteem issues sometimes, that I'm just not enough, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough to say. You know, and I have to constantly remind myself through that 10-step that I am okay, that I've done a lot of work, and that I do have something to give. So taking that 10-step inventory on a daily basis, and when I do find, when I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong, because I'm not going to tell you and tell you every day I admit that I'm wrong and I'm willing to make the amends, I'm not. Sometimes I want to hang on to it. Sometimes I know I'm dead wrong. But that pride in myself that I have, it doesn't bring me around right away. You know, I have to sit in that for a minute. I have to meditate with it, and then I finally come back and I will admit, because I know today it's not okay for me to do something to intentionally hurt someone, or even unintentionally, and then recognize it and don't get up off of my pride and don't go back and make amends. It's not okay for me to do that today. And I always feel better when I do make the amends. And in step 11, it's one of my favorite steps. When I got to the 11th step in my recovery, I was going through a period of trying to seek religion. Absolutely have to find out about God's will for me in the 11th step. I got to go to church. And I believe in this process, you get to different places, you get to different levels in your recovery at different times in the recovery process. When you first come to Narcotics Anonymous, for me, I couldn't do it through church. Went to church when I was coming up, hated it, hated going to Bible study, hated it. It just wasn't for me. You know, and so this process, I'm glad that the 11th step or the 10th step was not part of the first, second, and third step, because I don't know that I'd be here today. I don't know that I was ready early on in my recovery to take a self-assessment of myself and then go back and apologize. I don't think that I was ready to seek a conscious contact of the God of my understanding that I met in the second step and just pray for the power of His will for me and the power to carry it out, the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. I don't think I was ready for that. But by the time I got to the 11th step, I was real ready. I had become spiritually awakened in this process. And I had met a very loving God in the second step, a God that was not judgmental, a God that loved me unconditionally, and a God that let me know that it was okay that today I messed up. Tomorrow what I can pray for is help me get it right today because I messed it up yesterday. And the God that's going to say, okay, you can do that. I'll give you another chance. You know, when I first got here, I was told that I had to pray and I had to get on my knees, and I didn't know how to do this stuff, and I did whatever y'all told me to do because I really wanted this. I wanted this program and I wanted it to work for me. I wanted to stop using. And by the time I got to the 11th step, praying for the knowledge of God's will for me is something that I do every day today, because I seek to be the type of individual that does God's will. I don't want to be hurtful to people. I don't want to lie. I don't want to manipulate. You know, those are all the characteristics that I possessed when I was out there in the street. And I'm going to tell you, there's been times, the longer I stay here, it's like the harder I have to work to stay here. The longer I stay clean, it's the harder that I have to work these principles in Narcotics Anonymous. I thought early on, before I got any time in this program, that the more time I got, it should be easier. It's a no-brainer. Just stay clean, don't use, keep coming back. You know, but it's not that easy. It's like the harder, you know, I struggle with complacency. I struggle with manipulation. You know, I heard a speaker say today that manipulation is controlling the outcome. I'm like, whoa. You know, I want things to go just the way I want them to go, when I want them to go there. And I thank God for this process, because today I might struggle with it, but I don't struggle as much with it today as I used to, because I have some steps. And praying for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that, that's all I want. And to be still today, I can be still today, and I can hear God talk to me. And you know, I have a conscience today. When I'm in that prayer meditation, I can hear God talking to me, and it's almost like I have the type of relationship with the God of my understanding that when we talk, it's almost like, all right, we were going on vacation a couple of weeks ago. We went to the Dominican Republic. My brother was going with us, and he was supposed to be getting his passport. And he was having some complications with receiving his passport, and I had every bit of faith that he was going to get this passport and we were going to go. And he was calling me every 5 minutes the day before we were supposed to travel. I don't know if I'm going to get it. Now, he's in recovery as well. He's in the room. But, you know, every 5 minutes he's going, I don't think I'm going to get it. What should I do? I'm like, Dave, it's going to be okay. Relax. You're going. I don't know where that came from, but I had that peace of mind and that understanding, and I had prayed to God, and I turned it over. And I'm like, God, if it's your will that he go, he'd be there. And if it's not, then he won't. And I let him know that. If you're supposed to go, you'll get it. If you're not, you won't. Relax. Relax. Well, I'm going to tell you, the day before we were supposed to travel, he ended up driving up to Washington, D.C., stood in the passport line from 8:45 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, and he walked out with his passport and got on a plane the next day and came down to Dominican. And when he called me, I mean, he was a nerve. He had me a ball of nerves. And at one point, I was like, okay, God, you know what we want. I don't place my order with you. You know what? And you know what I heard from God? It's like, oh, now you questioning me? And I'm standing at my kitchen sink, and I'm like, I had to stop. There was nobody in there but me. And this is the kind of relationship that I've developed with my God in these rooms. And I stopped, and I was like, no, I'm not pressing you. I'm just saying, though. And he was like, what exactly are you saying? I mean, and this is exactly the words that were going back and forth between me and my God. And I was like, you know what? Never mind. I know you got him. I know you got him. And I was like, David called me back 5 minutes later. And I'm like, David, you know what? You're going to stop worrying me. God already told me you're there. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. And it's just a matter of having that faith that the God of my understanding is the same God that he serves. Practice the faith. Get in touch with your God. And then trust. Once you put in your order, let it go. And trust that the outcome is going to be his will. When I stop trying to control something and when I stop trying to make it happen the way that I want it to happen, everything works out. And that's with anything. When I can practice that principle of the 11th step, when I can practice that principle, when I can just totally surrender and let it go and say, okay, God, your will, not mine, be done, and let it go, things work. And I have, check this out, I have peace of mind. Because today it's not really... it's not up to me to control it anymore. It's up to God. All I have to do is be willing to show up and be willing to do what it is that I'm supposed to do. And a lot of times, y'all are my higher power. A lot of times when I don't know what to do, y'all will come and tell me what to do. And I'm like, okay, go to the left. All right, go to the right. Okay. And then when I listen, when I'm willing to be listening to you and surrender my control, my will, I have to trust that God sent you all. You're my angels. You know, that he sent you all into my life to help me get to where it is that I want to go. Because he knows I am confused, and it doesn't take much. You know, and he knows that sometimes I am strong-willed and stubborn and self-centered. And he's put you all, my little angels, in my life to go, no, Sharon, you might want to look at it like this and go this way. And I go, oh, okay. In the 12th step, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility as a member of Narcotics Anonymous that now that I have gotten from 1 to 11, and I've looked at myself, and I've worked on myself, and I've gotten to a place in my life where I can give something that's a little bit healthier away to someone other than a bunch of bullshit, you know, to impress you. But I can actually give you something back. That's my responsibility. I have to do that. As a member of Narcotics Anonymous, that's what my 12th step tells me. That's after having a spiritual awakening. My spirit got awoken, I believe, in the first step. I believe my spirit woke up in the first step when I surrendered. Because that had to be a God of my understanding. That was not of my will. I knew I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it on my own. I know it was a God of my understanding that pulled me up from the pits of hell. Because I went through the bottom, y'all, to get here. I went through the bottom. I didn't hit a bottom. I went through the bottom. And that's what I had to do to get to these rooms, to earn my seat in these rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. I had to go through the bottom. And you know what? It only took me one time. I don't want to relapse. I don't ever want to go back to where I was. I don't ever want to start this process all over again. I don't ever want to do that. It scares me to death. When I come into rooms and I listen to newcomers who talk about relapsing, I listen to them and I embrace them. And what they let me know is that it ain't getting no better out there. I need to stay right where I'm at. And I need to keep doing what I'm doing so I can continue to get better, because I like getting better in this process. I like being responsible and paying bills. I like going to meetings. I like looking at a newcomer sitting in a chair, scared to death, don't know how to speak the lingo that we speak. Just wanting to stop using just for one day. I like being able to go after my home group up to that newcomer and embrace them and welcome them and tell them that they don't ever have to use again. They don't ever have to use again. I like carrying that message. And it's my responsibility to continue to work a 10th step, to continue to take my inventory so that I can be that example for the newcomer when they walk in the door. So that I can continue to pray for God's will for me and the power and ask Him to give me the power to carry it out. So that I can work from a spiritual place when I'm trying to carry this message, and not from a controlling place, and not from a place of ego, but a place from love and acceptance and courage, because it takes courage to do that. I mean, you know, I have to give it to us. It takes courage to do that, to constantly be honest with yourself about what you're doing and where you're at and how you're feeling, and then admit it, and then tell a whole room full of people I'm messing up and way I'm my stinking thinking today. But if that's what I have to do to stay here, that's what I'm going to do. And if that's going to help a newcomer, because I thank God for my predecessors. I thank God for their courage and their willingness to come into the rooms and sit down and open up with us and share with us and share their inventory with us. Because then it gave me the courage to do the same. So in that 12th step, what it's telling me is that I have a responsibility to stay clean, to continue to take my inventory, to promptly admit it when I'm wrong, to continue to pray for God's knowledge and His will for me, and to continue to pray for Him to give me the power to carry that out so that I can do His will and not mine. And then to go out and help somebody else do the very same thing that I did. That's why I have to keep showing up at meetings. You know, that's one of the hardest things for me. I enjoy going to meetings, but now that I have a life, and I've gotten so busy that Narcotics Anonymous gave me, that I know I would not have had if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. I have to make myself get up and go to meetings. And I thank God for sponsees, because a lot of days they're the ones that carry me. They're the ones that I feel like I got to practice what I preach. I can't tell them to make meetings. I can't tell them to work steps. I can't tell them to call your sponsor if I'm not going to meetings and working steps and calling my sponsor. And my sponsor's listening to this, and I love you, Katie, and I'm sorry you're not here. So she told me to make sure I get that tape, and I said, okay, no problem, I'll bring you back the tape. And she's like, I just want you to know I'll be listening to it. And I'm just talking and talking and talking. She's like, I said I'll be listening to it. I said, oh, okay. You know, but I thank God for sponsorship, because my sponsor is the one that taught me how to work these steps. You know, all I can say is that this program works. It's really about the steps. It's really about taking that honest inventory of myself and going, how am I feeling right now? I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling lonely. Promptly admitting it. When I hurt someone, going up to them and saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For this addict, with the ego that I have, it's hard some days. With my husband, it's hard. because he's the closest thing to me. You know, we tend to hurt the closest thing to us. You know, and I know I am not easy to live with. And there are some days, and he's not in recovery. So, you know, but he's a big support, you know, and he knows about this program, and he knows about this fellowship. And what I thank God for is that he holds me accountable. You know, although he's not in recovery, there's sometimes when we have conversations that I think to myself, have you ever been to a 12-step program? You know, so it's hardest for me to practice these principles with my husband and with people that are closest to me. But if I want to stay here and I want to keep growing spiritually, I have to do what I must do. And this is the these are the maintenance parts of my recovery. This is those 10, 11, and 12 are what's going to keep my foundation strong. You know, we talk about building a foundation when we first get here. 10, 11, and 12 are my maintenance steps. 10, 11, and 12 are my oil changes and my tune-ups. I thank God that I've been given an opportunity to share at this convention. I hope I said something to help someone. Thanks for letting me share.
Please help me welcome our second speaker, Jared.
My name's Jared, and I'm a recovering addict.
Jared.
Feel more comfortable when I stand. You know, first things first, I need to thank Almighty God for his grace and his mercy. I'm truly clean only through God's grace and God's mercy in the program and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I want to, you know, I'm going through a bunch of different emotions, and I'm going to tell you why. I want to thank the New Jersey Regional for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope on steps 10, 11, and 12. This is a special convention to my heart. You know, this was my first convention ever, right? It's my first convention ever, and I've been coming ever since, and I bought my first little, you know, necklace and my medallion here, and this was the convention that I bought in to Narcotics Anonymous. This was the convention where I made a lifetime subscription to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And now, I've been, you know, I have shared a bunch of different places, and I've done some stuff. I'm not saying that to boast. I always wonder why they never asked me to share here. Right? And I'm going to tell you why. Because God was not going to bring me up here at the very same convention that saved my life when this was still a booty call. Follow me now. God was not going to bring me up here to make a fool of myself and the people in my life when this thing was still about sharing for effect. So I am so grateful that I am here in a place where this thing does not have the hold on me like it used to. It's a beautiful place to be here and know that you are here without a doubt on a God call. Because I do not say yes to every commitment. I've learned that you can say no to Narcotics Anonymous.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, when they ask me to share, the first thing I say is I got to talk to the boss first. And anybody in a healthy, mature relationship knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my better half on a lot of days. Right? Because I've learned what's most important and what's a true value. And really, I've learned to get my priorities in order. Right? So I'm grateful to be here. I'm real excited. I just talked to my sponsor a little while ago, and I want to tell him I love him too. He ain't here. And he told me to don't be so serious. He said, have a good time this time. Because I have a habit of being so serious. right? And like, you know, yelling at people and this and all this other stuff. So I'm here to, like, you know, be on a level of comfortability, like I'm at home just chilling in my boxers. Comfortable.
Right.
For women, okay. It might be, you know, something else. You know, like, just comfortable, man. And I am, man. And I'm so grateful, man. I'm so grateful that I'm here and I have this opportunity to share, you know, thank my better half for putting up with me on most days, because sometimes it's hard. It's hard, man. I'm a very structured, sometimes rigid. And you know what? I don't play with my recovery, man. My life is still on the line. And sometimes I take it to a level where maybe it shouldn't be, but that's just how I was taught, man. I was taught that you work this program like your life depends on it, because it does. And so I'm here. I really don't know what experiences I'm going to share. I'm well prepared to share on 10, 11, and 12. And it's funny, because I was looking at the program, and the first three steps is giving up, steps 1, 2, 3, right? Then it's cleaning up, steps 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and then it's making up, steps 8 and 9, and then it's keeping up. You notice that everyone is up? The literature says that recovery is an uphill journey. So if I continue to stay in the process of recovery, I am always going to be on an uphill journey. So I guess I'm here to close up the set of steps with 10, 11, and 12. You know, and I was thinking about a lot of stuff, too. I was analyzing what I'm going to say, and what I got in touch with while you were sharing, and you talked about a lot of stuff. I would like to dedicate this opportunity to share it to my grandmother, and I'm going to tell you why. As long as I can remember growing up from my early, I'm giving you my latest inventory. That's all I got. As long as I can remember growing up through all the destructive dereliction and all that stuff, all the dark places that I've been, the only place I ever felt safe was my grandmother's house. And why? Because that's the only place I ever went where God lived. My grandmother served the God of her understanding to the day she died. Check this out. It's the only person that I know that prayed for me unconditionally. Where her and her friends had prayer circles for her grandson. She used to tell me, Jerry, you got to get off the needle, and you need God in your life. And I never understood why. She took me to church. Listen, if you're offended, I'm sorry. She took me to church. I went through the same experiences, only to come to Narcotics Anonymous, right, to get put back on the very same original path that I chose not to go down. I made the left instead of going straight. The original path, the path that God had set out for me. I don't believe we need to get spiritual. I think we were put on this planet spiritual. Restoration is just to be back to its original state. So I just had to come back to a point where I did the inside work and I started to understand the original plan and original route that God had set forth for me. To go all around the world. Just to come back to that original place, man. To the original place where I thought that, you know, see, Narcotics Anonymous has his own dogma. We have dogma and we want to, you know, talk all that other stuff and not look words up and see what they really mean. And you know, and what I was caught in is a set of beliefs that had no really reality to it. It was all just theory. It was just all stuff that I, you know, most of it made up. Only heard what I wanted to hear. So I come to Narcotics Anonymous and I get embarked on the step work right away. I didn't wait no 90 days or nothing like that. I started working steps right away. And I go through all the, you know, through the 9 steps and start to heal on the inside, and I start to really take a look at who Jared is. See, I've come to understand the importance and the value of understanding what's going on. Right? My sponsor is real big for saying, let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. It's about living this. And if I don't understand what it is that's happening, I'm really not going to get the full living experience. Mm-hmm. It says, you know, it's only through understanding and application that they work. And this comes over slowly. I'm in touch, and I accept it the slowly over period of time stuff. And I wonder why understanding is before application. Because I'll tell you, man, I was the guy, I can apply it, and I can, you know, make it work in my life, but I did not have a clue of what understand what was going on. I was still running on theory rather than reality. So I get in touch with who you know, in my fourth step, I get in touch with, you know, not, you know, at the time I thought I got in touch with the whole world and all this other stuff, and what I learned, it was just like a spotlight on some stuff. Right? And then I go, you know, then I get to 10, and for me, in my 10th step, you know, all that stuff that I just talked about started to uncover. I started to understand that people, places, and things is in recovery. Right? That what was appropriate for one phase of recovery may not be appropriate for the next. Uh-huh. So I started to get in touch with that I needed to start hanging out with some different folks. Mm-hmm. I needed to stop hanging out with people who really were just hanging out. Right? Because I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was 23 years old, and I have yet to find a reason to use. Right? I came here a snot-nosed punk kid, and I thought I knew everything, and I came here suffering with being a player. Right? I thought I was this big-time player. I was the one who always got played. Right? You know, and what it really was is the self-centered fear of not knowing what it is to be with one woman and not having seven different women in my life. Mm-hmm. Right? So I started to get in touch with in the inventory process of continuing to take a personal inventory, man, and seeing, and like, you know, where it talks about in the sixth step a mature conscience. I started to, like, you know, think differently as a result of getting new people, places, and things in my life. I started hanging out with the very same people that I said, oh, man, that guy is too spiritual, man. I can't hang out with him. That guy's too spiritual. Nah, I ain't messing with, you know, this is a spiritual program, man. We're supposed to get too spiritual. So those very same people I started to hang out with, and I started to, you know, I always wanted to be hang out with a 10, and I was like a 2. I was like a 2. So what I learned is that I got to do the work to become a 10, and I started hanging out with some mature folks, because them guys intimidated me, man. They were doing stuff, check this out, that I wanted to do, and there were people who I wanted to be like, but I was unwilling to do the work. I was unwilling to put the big boy pants on and really step up to the plate and do some real stuff. I was unwilling, and I learned, you know, that I have to get, you know, I have to become that person that I was always meant to be. And I have to start really making a commitment to Narcotics Anonymous. And I've learned that the longer I stay here, the more commitment that I see that it takes to really stay here and to really have my life enhanced to a quality where I'm living abundantly. Right? Mm-hmm. To understand where it is that I got to go in the 11th step to pray only now, not for another thing, praying only for the knowledge of God's will. To understand that I am no longer like living on life on life's terms with a true third step, that I'm now living life on God's terms. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not that easy. It's not that easy. I don't know anybody who relies 100% on the God of their understanding. We are not designed to do that. Right? To understand is that I just learned God has, I used to say God has three answers, yes, no, and wait. He's got a new one in my life. You got to be kidding me, Jared. He says, you got to be kidding me. Why I say that, and the 11th step, it talks about how we come up with this, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, we come up with this divine way of saying it's God, and it's really us manipulating the situation to go the way that we want to go, and we want to push it out on God. He says, you got to be kidding me, man. He says, you know, you claim to serve me, so let's see that rather than talking about it. Right? And understanding that when God gives me assignment, I have no way of getting out of it. Like, it's going to happen with or without my permission. So I've learned to cooperate, right? And to really get, man, to really get what this program has to offer. This program is designed so profoundly and divinely to set you up and negotiate a path to the God of your understanding. So I pray only for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out, which is the hard part, because he can give me the assignment, he can tell me what to do, but am I allowing the power to come in me to carry it out? And that becomes tricky for me, because sometimes I think that I'm supposed to be somewhere, and I'm not even supposed to be there in the first place. My ego is taking me there, and I want to think that it's God. Because I'm an addict with low self-esteem, some days no self-esteem, but I got an ego, man, that loves to be kissed, rubbed, and I love to be the center of attention, and I love to be in the center of the universe, but what I've learned, it's the most loneliest place to be, and God is not there. So at my loneliest, you know, at my loneliest, darkest moments, right, when I'm on the bottom of the barrel, God meets me there, and he picks me up to shine, to not make a difference in my life, but to make a difference in your life as well. My sponsor told me a long time ago, not everything I go through is just for me.
That's right.
It's for someone else as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned through the power to carry it out, to understand where it is I'm supposed to go in my 12th step to really carry the message. See, the 11th step says, without this step, it's highly, highly unlikely we will have a spiritual awakening and carry a sufficient message to addicts. What is the sufficient message? Is it me to tell you I'm not using no more and all this other milli vanilli stuff? Or is to let you know that my life has profoundly changed, man. It's profoundly changed as a result of carrying this message and practicing these principles in all my affairs. I've learned the 12 step is not a drug message. It's a God message, man. What am I doing when I'm at the barber shop and my barber's going through something? Yeah. I can't tell him to make a meeting and call your sponsor.
Good shit, bro.
It's about highly affecting other people's lives in a way that is so profound, man, where it ain't even about the haircut no more. It's about a personal relationship between us two. And I know that because he keeps telling me I don't have to come every week, man. You know, you got no hair, bro. What type of barber tells you not to come every week? We have formed this relationship based on what I thought was a 9th step to myself on a consistent basis. And what it turned out to be is God put me in the place where he needs to use me the most to help somebody else. And he's not even an addict. He's not even an addict. And the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, man. My spirit did not awaken as a result of anything else but the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. God brought me here first. He brought me here first, and from here through my 11th step, you know what? I came here believing in God. I'm not even going to, like, hold no punches, man. I came here believing in a God, man. I understood that there was a God out there, and I knew a lot about God. I just didn't know God. See, my prayer was monologue, not dialogue. It was me talking to him and that's it, like God was a vending machine. And I could just pull the lever and get what I want anytime I need it. But what I've learned is through membership and really embarking in this program, responsibility is highly, highly demanded. To whom much is given, much is required. Let's go a deep step further. To whom much more is given, much more is required. I'm talking about being used, man, really being used by a God to really do some special stuff, to do some extraordinary stuff. The 12th step talks about an extraordinary transformation. The 2nd step talks about a fundamental transformation. If you read between the lines, I believe we're supposed to go from a basic, mediocre, fundamental transformation into the extraordinary transformation, where I'm doing things in my life that are far beyond my wildest dreams. I'm going to share in the here and now. A while back I started to, really, really look at myself. And I was a guy, I used to do construction. And I always used to claim that I loved what I did. But I couldn't tell you guys that I really didn't like what I was doing because I was afraid. I was afraid that you were going to help me and I was going to actually have to do something, right, and get a new job. Because it was easier to stay where I was at. I made buku dollars. I made good money, man. And it got to a point where the money wore off. The euphoria of that wore off. Everything has an euphoria. And it got to a point where I started to really get in touch with and accept myself on a deeper level that, Jared, plus I have some health issues, and I really can't do that stuff no more is another thing that I really had to get with. I have to get a different job. And I did that. And what had happened was I started to, you know, really inventory my life and seek through prayer and meditation. I mean, seeking is just like, you know, like I can remember, check this out. If anyone has kids and you're in a store and you lose your kid by accident and you're searching high and low and you're seeking for your child, it's the same way seeking God. It's the same way. So I'm seeking and I'm praying and my prayer has matured. It's no longer like I just talked about, give me all this other stuff. It's a dialogue. And I'm trying to see where it is that God wants me to go, because I'm in touch today that God is the solution to all my problems. I make no mistake about that. I serve a God and I try to always see where it is that He wants me to go, and he presented the opportunity to get a new job, and I thought that, okay, this was my big life change and this and that and all right, and I've been at the same job and they love me and they have no clue who I am. They have no clue who I am. They love me. They say all this wonderful stuff. I hang out with the vice president of the company, and I'm sharing all this based on my character of who I've become and the person that I am, that I understand that relationships is the most important thing in my life. And then I got another assignment, and I thought that I had a break. And I was the guy who always claimed, I'm getting ready to go to college. In the future, I'm getting ready to go to school, but not really telling you, I was so scared to go. I was so scared. The last schooling that I had, man, was like eighth grade, and then after that was my GED in an adult learning center. I was so fearful, and I didn't want to tell nobody, because I was still sometimes am afraid of being rejected and what you people are going to talk about me, but not knowing that you are the same very people that are going to help me and save me. See, I have a disease that's based in negative sense of self. And God said, I want you to go to school. So I said, okay, no problem. But see, I didn't get the rest of the assignment. I got what I wanted to hear, and the euphoria of that kicked in. And I spent 6 months bumping my head against the wall and wondering why I wasn't getting accepted nowhere, and financial aid was denying me. And I started to say, God's will can't be this hard. I was running totally on self-will. I didn't get the whole message. I come to find out that God wanted me to go to school, but for something totally different than what I was trying to go for. And I've learned, when you're living in God's will, you will never fail. You will never fail. So I'm in school. I'm on summer break now. I go back in September. So I started to endeavor in that aspect of what it is, where it is God was trying to, you know, tell me to go. Or He wasn't trying to. He was telling me where to go, and I just wasn't listening. You know, so I finally, after another surrender, I started to really talk about it, and I started to go where it is God wanted me to go, and it's so funny, the things just went together like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It just started to work out, and what I go to school for, without breaking traditions or any of that other stuff, I go to school, that's the best way I could say it, Will. I go to school to learn more about God. Let's put it that way. Okay, and what I thought I knew about the God of my understanding, I started to go to school and I learned, whoa, man, this is deep. And what I started to struggle with in a classroom setting, right, is that, like I just shared, that I had no much experience with that, and I was so nervous, and I was so scared, and I thank God for my girlfriend. She's got a lot of experience, and she set me up with the book bag and gave me the pens and all that stuff, because guess what? I had to ask for help, and I don't know that stuff. There's always another level that God is trying to take you to, take us to, take me to. But am I willing to go there? Or am I willing to just settle for the current condition on what it is in a relationship with my God? There's always another level. So I started to, you know, feel like, you know, self-centered fear, man. And what the suggestion was to talk to my teachers and let them know. Something real simple. I couldn't think of that on my own, right? I have a thinking disorder, and I still need to sometimes rely on other people's thinking rather than my own. So what happened was, now I'm trying to tell you, God just doesn't come to me and say, Jared, son, you know, I'm sharing that stuff. He talks to me through people. He talks to me through other folks. He talks to me through a sign on the highway. He talks to me in any way he chooses to. And if I'm not mm-hmm. on the right path, yeah. and if I'm mm-hmm. speeding in life, and I'm doing like 150, right? And I'm exaggerating. I hope, you know, I really don't do 150. But if I'm doing 150, and I miss my exit to get off. Do you know how hard sometimes it is to get back on, get back off that exit, get back on that exit? So I've learned to get in the slow lane and do the speed limit in life so that I can get off when I'm supposed to get off and not get lost. And so I explained to my teachers what I was going through. You know, they're godly people. And the response that I got was very loving and caring, and they said, no problem. If you need any help, don't hesitate to ask. Now, this may not sound big to anyone else, but this is all new stuff for me. This is all new stuff for me. To not only, you know, go there and like, you know, get this education and do all this stuff, to be set up in a position where I'm spiritually mature to set me on my 12th step where I'm supposed to be in the particular time. See, God knows where I'm going. He's going to give me everything I need in the present to get there so that I can carry the message and that I can help people. Now, no ways am I saying that carrying this message to addicts is not important. Listen. There ain't nothing like carrying the message to addicts, man. There ain't nothing like saving addicts' lives. But through that, he's also using me in a way where I can touch you guys even on a deeper level. On a deeper level, man. On a level where it's not just like, you know, I'm doing all this great stuff and, you know, and this and that and all this other stuff. Like, really affecting people, man, in a way where God had put people in my life to affect my life in the same very way. So that I could do it for others, you know? So my spirit has been awoken, man. The seventh step says something like, you know, God has taken us from spiritually unconscious to spiritually alive and glad, spiritually aware and glad to be alive. Mm-hmm. This program just doesn't affect us. It affects the people around us. And I say that because my brother is having some issues with drugs. Now, whatever he's using, whatever the case may be, He's got a problem with drugs, and who do you think they called? Who do you think they called? They called me because they see something working in my life that they have never seen work before. They see their son, their little brother. You know, I'm still young. I'm a young man. You know, I'm not that old, although I always say that I'm getting older. I'm only 29. You know, that's really not that old. But they see, you know, some stuff that's going on. Listen, they're quoting literature to me, man. They're saying, well, can't you get some literature so that, you know, they're using NA slogan and NA language, man. And then I want to say that they don't really, you know, see that I've changed much. God shows up always on time. And it reinforces the fact that the only thing that's more powerful than the disease of addiction is God. And if I'm not rolling with God, I'm sleeping with the enemy. And I refuse to run around here, man, and like, you know, walk into my house and feel like I'm walking right back into the crack house. I refuse to sit around here and, you know, and not do what it is I'm supposed to do. My sponsor's got a lot of time. He still makes meetings on a regular basis, still works steps, still calls his sponsor. So what's that say? I got to do the same, man. And I can't afford to not maintain my spiritual house with the maintenance steps 10, 11, and 12. Because that's what it's really about in simplistic forms. It's the maintenance steps, and it's about maintaining my spiritual house. And how do I do that? I stay in tune to God's radio station. You know, I let God lead the path, man. And I would love to tell you that that's how it rolls every single day. That's just not the case. I ain't perfect. And I don't know anybody who is perfect. So I continue to embark on my journey and continue to monitor myself. And you know what? There's one thing I left out with. See, the 10th step, I didn't share much about, you know, making the amends in the 10th step. Because it says clearly in the 10th step that the more we work this step, the less we have to use the corrective part of this step. So that tells me that I'm supposed to get to a point where I see myself coming and I'm not still causing harm or as much harm to people all the time. This is a harm reduction program. But promptly means as soon as my behind gets in touch with it. Mm-hmm. Not because you told me that was messed up. Mm-hmm. And you may be very well right. Yep. But if I'm not open to it, basically, I'm not going to hear you. And until I get in touch with that to make that wrong right is when that's going to happen. So, you know, I continue to come and I continue to make meetings. I'm a young man of God. I don't go to the strip club. I don't go to the bar and drink Cokes. You will not find me in places like that. In fact, for a long time, every Friday night after my home group, they asked me to go. And I always said no. And then one time they said, oh, you're too spiritual. I said, you know what? I am too spiritual because God is not at the strip club. And I have no interest for settling anything less than a fuller relationship with the God of my understanding. That's just where I'm at, man. I've learned what's really important in life. Mm-hmm. I've learned, man, that God is at the head of my household, the head of my relationship, the head. God does pay my bills. I'm going to share this and shut up. I talked about how I moved on in this job and all that other stuff. And I have never been broker, right? Seems like I ain't never, you know, worked harder. But I've never been happier. I've never been happier, man. Because when you're rolling with God, you will always live abundantly. And he has continued to bless me in spite of myself sometimes. If I had served a God that gave me what I deserved, I'd be dead. I understand it didn't have to be like this. So, you know, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. You know what? My sponsor, I want to say this because I'm tired of people asking me, is your sponsor such? My sponsor is David G. from the greater New Brunswick area. And I say that for a reason, because he needs to get the credit that God uses to guide me in my process of recovery. Thanks for allowing me to share.